May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1139. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1139.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read Psalm 90, also in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and the first 13 verses. Firstly, Psalm 90. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him? And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let us pray. O thou who art the I Am, that I Am, we bow before thy eternal majesty, and we seek thee in the way of thy grace which is revealed. There is only one way that has been made by thee who art that most blessed Almighty, and that is the way of grace through thy well-beloved Son, thy goodness. And we pray that we may know the goodness of thy dear Son. For the Lord, we shall know the goodness of God. Oh, if we indeed eat Emmanuel's flesh and drink his blood, we shall see God, and that in peace and felicity and joy and everlasting raptures. And we do pray that thou wilt look down upon poor, helpless, vile worms of the earth here tonight, and grant us such a favour. Oh, that the heavens might drop down fatness, Lord, and the skies might pour down righteousness, Lord, and come and do us good. Oh, may thy word be made to us, Lord, a living word, that we may hear thee, voice of the Good Shepherd. O thy kingdom come. Well, we would therefore draw near, would own how good thou art in the great provision of the throne of grace, upon which the gift of gifts, the gift of all gifts, the divine gift, sits, hearing the cry of the poor and needy, and having covenanted to hear, that so he blesses all comers, we read, and thinking earlier, an hour ago, and those that come to thee are in no wise cast out. What a God! We're nothing but sin. We're nothing but unbelief. We're vile. We're rebels, Lord. Oh, we're dreadful sinners. We have to confess it. Oh, how we hardly give thee the glory due. We're mean in our services and duties, Lord, and in all our understanding of thee. And yet all we know is what thou hast taught us, what we've experienced. And that tells us how small we are. Yet, Lord, a little gospel crumb does convey into our soul something of thy great love wherewith thou hast loved us. Oh, what a God thou art. Oh, may I, and may we each be among that group of people called Worm Jacob, that we might truly wrestle till the break of day, the eternal day. Bless us now as we have turned in once again to Zion's courts and in this particular village, and the first service here in this new year. Oh, grant us a real new year blessing. Oh, we do pray that thou visit sinners and say to many, I am thy salvation. And may there be those this year quickened into life. Many may be brought into ever-deepening concern as to where they will spend eternity, and into that blessed exercise to be reconciled to God, to win Christ. Oh Lord, we do need thee. We truly tremble as we realize how quickly our days are passing through. We often feel as though the summer is ended and the harvest is past, as it were, and we're not saved. And Lord, we feel there's much that needs still to be done, that we know salvation is finished by Jesus Christ. Blessed, glorious doctrine. Oh, what a truth. Zion's salvation is finished, but we want that work of grace to make us ready for our end. We believe that work of grace will not come to an end until that work of grace is finished and made us ripe and ready to depart. And we do pray, Lord, that thou instruct us as we journey on into this year. Please be our everlasting lights and our guide. I am the light of the world, that is to say, he that walketh in the darkness, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's what we need, Lord, the light of life. Oh, that we might know our springs to be in thee. They have been over the years, and we bless thee for it. How good thou hast been in this. But Lord, oh, we do so much more need those living waters to spring up. Oh, the work of the Spirit of Truth to spring up. Oh Lord, do then cause thy goodness to pass before us in the way. Could it say to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Lord, may thy presence go with us. Do give us rest, Lord. Even by a little experience by faith here below, that rest from time to time. But oh, to bring us at last to the everlasting rest. And so Moses prayed, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And that's just how we feel. Lord, don't take us any further if thou art not going to be with us. But we must have thee with us. For if thou art not with us, what will become of us? We'll sink. We can understand his petition. He felt the great weights and the tremendous import of the journey ahead, Lord, though of course he had a special work to do. We haven't, but not like that. But Lord, we do need thee to be with us, Lord. In all our remaining days, we're afraid of many things ahead. Oh, we do pray thou'lt go before us and make the crooked things straight, Lord, and the rough places plain, and sanctify our troubles to us, Lord, and may we each prove that all those things that we meet with are among those things that will do us good, as the Apostle wrote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them Father called according to his purpose, we read, and we pray that we may prove that they are those appointed things that are working for our good. Oh Lord, we do need in our lives. So Lord, do then make all the mountains a plain, as we read in Zechariah. Oh, thou heavenly Zerubbabel, will those mountains become a plain? The headstone might be brought forth with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. It has been brought forth, thou indeed a lady in Zion. And there is light for the poor sinner, the headstone, and we would come with those shoutings, grace, grace, and plead grace, and truly acclaim that grace, and praise thee for that grace. Lord, increase our faith. We're very weak, and we need our faith to be increased. So, Lord, in mercy, be the same God in this coming year. As it unfolds, we've stepped into it, launched into it, as it were. And now, Lord, we know not what it may bring forth unto us, but be better than all our many, many fears, we pray. Be that same God this year, as there was last year, and has been all the days of our lives. So please be with us. And may we prove that thy grace is sufficient in all the trying scenes, the thorns in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. May we prove it, Lord. Remember all friends in trouble and sickness, and those in pain and weakness, and many sorrowful scenes in their lives, and heart-rending trials, Lord. Help each, and may they truly know thee to draw near, and to say, peace be still, and command deliverances for them, Lord, and bring them safely through the many turbulent scenes that they may be in at the present time or may yet appear. Oh, remember all. And friends in daily business, and mothers and wives in the home life, and the married and the unmarried, and those in the evening time of life, those that are alone, those that are weary, those, Lord, who we used to see here, not able to come through age and weakness. And we pray for such, and Lord, we pray for the young friends, be merciful to them, The dear children that worship here, bless them, Lord. Be gracious unto them. And the youth and young men and young women, lead them and guide them. Call them by thy grace. We tremble as we perceive the age in which we live, as the scriptures are being fulfilled rapidly. Explosion of infidelity and all morality and godliness and good standards indeed are plummeting. And Antichrist reigns and rulers are men of reprobate mind. And it's not in this land only, but it's a global scourge all through the modern way of life, this global age. It is a universal international apostasy. Great God, thy kingdom come. We know thou protect thy dear little church upon earth, that remnant small of humble souls which grace mysteriously controls. We pray the ancient people Israel hasten the day when the veil shall be taken away. And we know that Babylon and the false prophet must fall. But may we be among those who endure the great tribulation, that we may not deny thee, but that we may overcome at last through thy precious blood. O Lord, do fill us with thy fullness. We thank thee for the seasons. We're passing through a stormy season at present time in the traditional westerlies that so bring us a fruitful and verdant land. And do pray thou send that suitable weather for another harvest, and those who may suffer loss by flood or by storm damage may be helped, and we do need to be kept safe in any freezing weather they may come, Lord. We bless thee for the beautiful seasons, but there are chastenings with it. As the Lord, we have to be humbled and made to realize that everything in this world is cursed. The six-day creation God has cursed because of man's sin. It's not permanent. And therefore we suffer trouble from the very elements. And those elements maintain life on the earth. And so it is with all the judgments of God in the earth, the balancing of the clouds. But may we believe in that blessing and know that blessing which maketh rich, which no sorrow is added. We have blessings at work and blessings in family and blessings in so many different ways, and there's sorrow with them. Sorrow's added to them, Lord. Things change. We'll be blessed with good health that doesn't last. Blessed with family circles, troubles come, and one by one, each brother in the family passes away. Oh, there's a curse in all our earthly blessings, but there's a blessing that has no curse. Oh, the blessing of the Lord Jesus, which is forever. Oh, grant us some real saving knowledge of our interest in a precious, risen, exalted, glorious Saviour, Lord. Oh, may we know that blessing which is for eternity. Oh, we shall have a blessed death then. We shall be blessed in life and have a blessed death and live in a blessed eternity and bless God forever. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. Now we must turn to thy word. We thank thee for so many mercies, Lord. We do want to have a real thankful heart. We're too quick to murmur, and if anyone confess for others, we have such mean thoughts of God sometimes, and we limit God, we hate it, we know it's wrong, but we can't give thee the glory like we long to give thee the glory. But do sanctify our troubles to us, that we may bow down and, like Job, abhor ourselves and repent in dust and ashes, and that we might know the fulfilling that he knew in his deliverance, as he said in the trial, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that thou didst live for him. And we come short, but live for us. And come and save us. Fulfill thy covenant promise, I'll see you again. So have mercy upon us, Lord. Now do pardon all that's been uttered wrongly in prayer before thee now, the confusion in prayer, and any mistakes do forgive, but do answer that has been prayed by faith, Lord. And now do loose a stammerous tongue and grant that word in season, that suitable word of grace, as we plead thy great pardon. Remember the deacons, bless them and help them and give them much wisdom and grace. Remember this church and people, keep them together in love and union. Keep them in need. Keep them poor. Keep them at thy feet. And oh, may this be the birthplace of many. Pray for Zion at large. We pray for thy anointed servants. We pray for the flock and friends at home. Bless each precious soul, their young and old. Thy kingdom come. So we bless thee for bringing us safely into this year. And please be with us through the whole of this year, if it can please thee, though we solemnly realise that there is a year coming when we shall be taken away. We'll not see the end of it. Now it's all about this year concerning us here. These thoughts make us tremble, but we do pray that as thou art pleased to spare us, if thou art pleased to spare us through the year, we may be found living to thy glory and honour. We plead the pardon of our many, many, many sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 25. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with thy all-quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Number 25.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11 and to verse 13. Luke 11 and to verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In pondering and thinking solemnly upon the entrance into another year, thinking that what good gift can we ask from God? What shall we request? What should our petition be? Pondering the pathway that he has led us and brought us in so far safely in the journey of life. His goodness in the days gone, his mercies that have surrounded us, the solemn trials that we have passed through, and yet, oh, how we do need to be well prepared and well ripened. Tremendous thing to be ready to die, you know. I feel that as it is a day of much lightness and shallowness, men are very shallow today, naturally speaking, and that shallowness and emptiness has crept into the professing Church of God. But to be ready to die is a great and a tremendous matter. And yet, how the Lord in his tender mercies does fit and prepare. He does fit and prepare the vilest of the vile, most outlandish of rebels and poor wretched worms. Well, in pondering these things and our need of in this year as we so quickly journey, I was thinking in Psalm 90 today how the psalmist there shows us very plainly that our years pass away in his wrath. We're troubled. It's because of sin, friends. Confessed in prayer, every earthly blessing has a curse upon it. All our affairs have difficulties. Nothing lasts. And so he says, doesn't he? Concerning our lives, we indeed are like grass that grows up and it flourishes, and in the evening it's cut down, and we're consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. The sense here is that in all the daily affairs, though we're much favoured and surrounded with many mercies, yet you see, oh, there's trouble and difficulty and opposition and disappointment. So many things that are beyond our control, that how we have to really pray for help. See, this is part of that curse, you see. And how he says, thou set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You get your secret sins set in the light of God's countenance. It's amazing how many there are. It's amazing how many secret sins we have. We haven't come to the end of the humbling and teaching over the years, have we? So for all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Ah, you dear young friends, younger friends, may the Lord spare you yet. But something you'll find in your evening time of life will quickly catch up with you. And you'll say, like the older generation, where's my life gone? Where's my life gone? May the Lord sanctify our young friends. So teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And again that petition, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And again let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. We want the beauty of the Lord our God to rest upon us, don't we? And the works of our hands to be established upon us by faith. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Yea, that we may be established in that everlasting covenant, to be sweetly led and taught to live by faith and look to Christ alone. Well, in pondering these things and pondering the service, much anxiety seemed to come concerning the petitions we have to make. And really, you know, what greater petition could we make than this? We can't. I feel really we're asking for the greatest gift of God, to ask for the Holy Ghost. You may think, oh, well, shouldn't you ask for, we'd be asking for forgiveness? Yes. Shouldn't we ask the Lord's presence? Yes. Oh, may we ask for the Lord's presence. May we know that great forgiveness. So vital, isn't it? May we know his divine help. May we know him to go before us. Or may all our sins be subdued. May we know his love shed abroad in our heart. May we see him making our crooked things straight and our rough places plain. But how shall we know these things? And how shall we see these things and observe these things? How shall we pass safely through these things, my dear friends? And how shall we order our way before the Lord in all our weighty matters and trials? There is one glorious and divine, infallible teacher, instructor and comforter, God the Holy Ghost. You know, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure that, and I hope all our young friends, I hope they're not rebelling or planning to rebel, who would say in their heart, I don't believe in such a person. I hope there's not a young friend here saying that in their heart tonight. But you know, I'd assume that we'd probably all say, yes, well, we know that Jesus is the Christ. We know that Jesus is the Lord. But that's not saying it by the Holy Ghost. To say it by the Holy Ghost, my friends, is to truly say it with an apprehending view and a laying hold of. It's a knowing mercy through Jesus' precious blood. That by the Holy Ghost, my friends, is life. It changes your course. You see, there's a heavenly call here. It's right to train up families and for the young of the church to be instructed in the way of life and the doctrines of grace. Would to God we had it more in our churches. But that is not saying that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, the Blessed One, merely to understand it in our mind. There is something that is called the new birth. Something called everlasting life, eternal life. And we can learn the doctrines of grace and the things of God by natural life. But eternal life is a heavenly call to the kingdom of God. And that eternal life is the drawing love of our most holy Father to his well-beloved Son, unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that will take the affections of the heart and sanctify the life. and will bring our will in subjection to his divine will make us ready for the kingdom of heaven. So in pondering this service this evening, it has seemed rather sacred to me. Yes, that's just what I need. First dropped in, I said, yes, Lord, that's just what I need. I need the Holy Ghost above everything. If you have the Holy Ghost with you, friends, Christ will be very, very precious. If you have the Holy Ghost with us, my dear friends, you'll truly believe in him and believe in him and wrestle with him and open your mouth wide and all your petition in his precious all-prevailing name, and you'll not let him go till the blessing he bestows. Oh, you'll come and tell him all your sins and pour out all your heart. You'll not hide any of your wickedness from him. No pretenses before the omniscient eye of Jesus, who rises with a flame of fire. Oh, but you see, if the Holy Ghost is with you, you want to know him and his virtue. And the more you taste of his grace, the more your heart will go after him to know more of his grace. Oh, you see, it's a marriage union. I know I often say this, and I'll say it again. The greatest earthly bliss that man can know in the provision of God's providence is a happy marriage. And the union grows and the bond grows. But friends, death is stamped on it. It's still cursed, you see. Man is cursed for his sin, so he's got to die away, and the marriage ends in death. Ah, but the Holy Ghost will make the precious love of the Lord Jesus more full in your soul as you journey on. And then someone will say straight away in the pew, and the minister says it often too, well, why is my heart so cold and dead and faint? Because you're being sanctified. The love of Christ, which you've tasted already, is not cheap. It's free, but it's rich. My friends, it is a holy, divine, everlasting love, but it cost him his own heart's blood, his own life. And we're made to know how unworthy we are to taste a little of that love. When you consider the enormity of our sin and the depth of the fall, friend, in the vestry, prayed concerning our great sin. Oh, I believe there's no quibbling in the Church of God who the chief of sinners is. You're just so thankful it's written in the Word of God, because it includes you. You see yourself there, know yourself there. And therefore he empties to fill. Oh, my friends, he lays low to raise up. He destroys to build. And in laying his everlasting love and a saving knowledge of him in your soul, which is a divine life, it is the divine life in your soul. So we're made to feel very unworthy and very small and know the evil of our own heart. And he, as it were, makes a void within that makes you long for him to fill it. You want to know him and the power of his resurrection. So the more you taste of that grace, I believe the more you view the wonder of it, the great dimension of it, and you long to know it more. Well, the Lord instructs us concerning this greatest of blessings, really. I know there may be some questioning as to what is the greatest blessing. I often ask the question myself in my own ponderings and musings of my own heart. But I always come back to this, you know. I don't feel I want the Holy Ghost for the gift of tongues or for the healing of of bodies or performing miracles, though the Holy Ghost certainly worked that in the early church. It's not said he won't work it again, but I personally don't feel any need for the power of the Holy Ghost in that at all. I feel I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my ministry. But more important even that, I feel I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my soul to really be kept tender, humble, prayerful, diligent, God-fearing, lowly, needy, yet, oh, valuing, desiring, longing, yes, and loving in the springing of your heart, you long to love him more. If you're really taught of God, you long for things that you feel you're very small or short of. You're very small in or you're short of. The love of Christ passeth knowledge. But the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, made the apostle groan, O wretched man that I am. Well, the Lord Jesus instructs here and instructs the disciples in prayer. And he speaks in the parable of a man that had a friend visit him who he hadn't enough food, not enough bread to set before him. So he knocks up a neighbour late at night and the neighbour didn't really want to give it to him. He was nicely tucked up in bed and yet because of the importunity, his need, his necessity, and his soliciting, you see, he arose and gave him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. And seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now this is the word of Christ, my friend. The work of God in a man's heart will bring you to plead the word of God. Will bring you to plead the word of God. And therefore the Lord Jesus concludes his teaching in the instruction that if we know how to give good gifts, illustrated in three ways, how when children ask a gift, we don't give them something opposite, something nasty. We give them, out of the love of our heart, what we can, according to our means. And when we consider the ocean fullness of God in all his grace in the gift of his beloved Son, all the everlasting love of God to his church, the love of our Heavenly Father in thinking upon such a vile, wretched sinner. He foreknew and foresaw our rebellions and how bad we really would be in our nature. And yet loved with an everlasting love. And in this he gave his Son to come and be the propitiation, to lay down his life. And in this he gives the Holy Ghost to bring you to need his Son. Do some of you look back over your former days? You didn't need the Son of God then, did you? In fact, you were quite determined to go right away from the Son of God, I expect some of you. But the day comes, blessed day. Is there anyone more blessed day than that? When you're taken home at last. What a blessed day it was when the holy call of the gospel reached your heart and you were turned. Now, the Lord works in so many different ways, doesn't he? This was the work of the Holy Ghost, you see. The work of the Holy Ghost. And all your soul being kept alive. And all the ups and downs and the cries for help and the committing of your way and the longings for his blessing, you see. The cries for mercy, sparing mercies, healing mercies, lengthening out of days, provisions for the way. Oh, the Lord, to rise for your help. Save you from yourself. Save you from your sins. It is all the work of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord taught that if we instinctively know how to give good gifts unto our children. Now we're talking about the instinct of nature. That obviously we love the children of our loins, don't we? Because they belong to us. Therefore there's a fatherly and a motherly care and watchful eye and exercise for the welfare of the family and the larger family. Now in a holy way, according to his eternal thought, we can't speak of God having a nature, but there are no words to describe really he who thinks eternally and no changing thoughts eternally, but one eternal knowledge. In the span of time, he unfolds his purposes, you see. Now how he loves his dear people. And therefore the Lord Jesus, who assumed our nature in the womb of the Virgin without sin, and lived for us, and died for us, and rose again the third day, is instructing as he lived here. Teaching our Father's love, his Father's love to the church, which, let us be clear, is his love to the church. He's the Word of God, and he spake these things as the very living Word of God. And so, as he knows our need, he knows your need tonight, and therefore it's written for you. If ye then, being evil, know in your natural ways of love to your families how to give good things, good gifts unto your children, how much more shall he who is love, who is eternal, who is holy, who is immutable, who is faithful, who's altogether lovely, pure and blessed forever, he who is eternal, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, the Lord Jesus taught elsewhere, you see, that he will send the Holy Spirit to us from the Father. And again, our Holy Father will send the Holy Spirit in his name. Therefore, the Holy Ghost proceeds to us from the Father and from the Son. And that blessed Holy Ghost is never seen but always felt in his gracious operations in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know the difference, friend, in your life between that which is natural and that which is the operation of the Holy Ghost, which is spiritual and sanctifying and saving, and it's effectual? It brings us down to the feet of the Lord as a truly humbled and poor, needy sinner, groaning within yourself, yet viewing by faith the wonders of the fullness of the redemption that you see in him and that you begin to taste in him. And these are the early tastings of an ocean fullness that one day Jesus, your glorious head, will bring you into. But it's the Holy Ghost that conveys the blessing and the comfort down to your soul. Now I must briefly, and I have to be brief, try and just mention or speak a little of the glorious person of the Holy Ghost, The Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I can only in a limited way speak within the bound of the Holy Word of God. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he who is that one vast eternal, God blessed forevermore, eternally subsists in three glorious co-equal and co-eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one, that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These three are one. And the Lord Jesus here, who is our dear Prince and Saviour, clothed in a body like our own. I was pondering a little earlier today, I was in our friend's house actually, concerning the sacred terminology, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Seems so sacred for a few moments, I must say. The Son of God. Well, that means he is God. And he tells us very plainly, before Abraham was, I am. By him all things were created, by him all things consist. He created the worlds. He was ever with the Father. He came from the Father. He's returned to the Father. Having returned to the Father, he's returned to the Father in a body and a nature like our own, without sin, and now glorified, and he's sat down at the right hand of power. But you see, friends, in assuming our nature, he became the Son of Man. Therefore, as the Son of God, he's properly and truly God, almighty, without being without end. Oh, full of dignity, power, glory, exceedingly holy, one with his Holy Father. Being the Son of Man, he's with us. A real man, impeccable and spotless, body and soul, the wonders of it. And there's a reason for this. Man sinned and man must be punished. And for man to go to heaven and be with God and be reconciled to God, he must be righteous and his sins must be punished. The sin must be dealt with and put away. And how can these things be? It's too late for us to do. We're fallen in our iniquity. We're all rebels and runaways from God. And Jeremiah says, concerning my heart and your heart, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And do you know it, friend? Does it make you tremble? It will, by the Holy Ghost teaching, make you tremble. Tremble at yourself, frightened of yourself, and it make you cry out for mercy. Now Jesus came and lived as a real man, the God-man, body and soul, a real man, and delighted in God, and delighted in holiness, and loved God with all his heart, might and soul, and his neighbour as himself. And he fulfilled the law, magnified it in perfect obedience, and then, he answered the demands of the law in a cursed death. An accursed death. Our sins have brought the curse. And Jesus made a curse for us, my friends. For it's written, cursed everyone that hangeth upon a tree. So he poured out his soul unto death. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The voice in that cry, the desperation of his own soul. God had forsaken him. He was treading the winepress alone. My dear friends, I hardly know how to say these things, really. It seems so solemn. Because you love sin, and because I love sin. And I've tried not to love sin for years, but there it is. There it is, you see. You can't change anything, can you? We're lost to it. We're lost to it. But the Holy Ghost will breathe in your soul and bring you to confess as you believe in the Son of God. He'll bring you to confess your sins and groan within yourself and call upon that precious name. Bring you to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, bringing repentance and precious faith and life everlasting to your soul in his sweet operations. You might know him that you might be found in him. This is a great exercise, you see. So, dear friends, that blessed, glorious one who is now set down right in the hand of power, that sends to us the Holy Spirit, and him, as he lived here, that declared these things. He declared them when living here, therefore they stand forever. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto you, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, the Holy Ghost is that third glorious person, co-equal and co-eternal with the Son. And therefore, he alone is that one who operates in the earth here below. Now, he's God. He is God, as Jesus is God. And there is a very solemn and terrible sin that can't be forgiven. There's one sin that can't be forgiven. Very solemn. And that is the sin against the Holy Ghost. That is a definite blasphemy and a denial with a hatred in the heart against the glorious person of the Holy Ghost. And it is also seen and declared as being in the scripture the trampling underfoot of the Son of God, the blood of the Son of Man, Son of God. Underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. If there's a real turning away and a denying of Christ, a real denying with an inveterate hatred in our heart, then there is no repentance. That sin is unforgivable according to the scripture, because that is the sin against the Holy Ghost who has testified of the blood. But no true believer will ever commit that sin. And many of God's people have hated God and gone away. And one favourite disciple, and he was a favourite disciple, because he was allowed to go up to Transfiguration with Peter, with John and with James, and went further in the garden. And my friends, yet he did not commit the unpardonable sin in fear and weakness and sin. It was sin, clearly, terrible sin. I know him not. And we're thankful we don't know the terminology he used when he said, I know not the man. And he confirmed it or affirmed it with an oath. And then he imprecated himself. He began to swear he didn't know him. And friends, that wasn't a willful enmity against Christ. It was weakness in the flesh. And what about those who have gone right away, as it were, from the parental way of life or the Church of God and gone off into the world and said they don't believe any of these things and see no beauty in them? Now, that is a sin which may be forgiven. And many have been brought back, and would to God that many may yet be brought back in repentance unto life and be restored. Of course, not to the former moral way of life, but be restored to Christ. Brought to Christ. But I must hasten on, because I see that clock turns. So I want to speak then, the Lord helping me, of some of that operation, that blessed Spirit, vast, eternal, breathes, is felt but never seen, and he takes of the things of Jesus and makes them known. Now, one or two things, my friends. He writes doctrine in the heart. Now, that's different to merely learning it dryly in the head. And it's in this way, it affects you. In gracious experience of having been brought in the before the majesty of God, arraigned by stern justice, knowing something of the awful condemnation, and being led in repentance to the fountain of Siloam uncleanness, you learn doctrine. You learn doctrine. And the Holy Ghost is the infallible teacher of doctrine. And his doctrine drops as the rain, and his speech distills as the dew. And my friends, you learn the doctrine of the ruin of your own soul, of man's soul, and the heinousness of sin. And by the Holy Ghost teaching, you stand in awe of the holy law of God. You judge it as being pure and holy, but your soul cries out for mercy. And when the Holy Ghost speaks to you and teaches you of the love of Christ, you then are sweetly brought to know something of the everlasting love and the faithfulness of God in it. Here you learn election. Here you know what the new birth is by the experience of the new birth. You know what repentance is then. It's not just something you thought you could do to pay off a few debts. There's nothing like that at all, my friends. It's a brokenness in adoration and love to him who has shown you mercy. And you weep and you sing to the mercy you have found. Oh, how different is the repentance of the dying thief and the repentance of the woman of the city. When she came and wept at his feet. Ah, my dear friend, it's not a repentance whereby we think doing a little of this, the Lord will bless us because we've done this. That's the religion of the free will. She saw who Christ was, knew who he was, knew what she was, believed who he was, and so she came to his feet. And that's the operation of the Holy Ghost. You're brought to his feet. And so she wept there. And she wasn't afraid to touch him either. When they came and took Jesus by force, and they said, "Whom seek ye?" And when he said, "I am he," they fell back, you see. Though they recovered themselves, there's an immediate falling back. For a moment, they're overawed. But of course, Satan recovered them to their strength to take him, which was God's divine purpose for your salvation. But this godly woman, you see, ungodly wretch that she had lived, but she was manifest as a godly woman in Christ. And her godliness was seen as she fled to Christ and came and washed his feet with her tears. And wiped his feet with the hairs of her head and anointed him. And she received forgiveness of sins, you see. No man taught her. And that woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, said, "If I can touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, there's a believing in the heart. In him. His glorious person, you know who he is, a mighty Saviour. You want to know him more, want to touch him more, lean upon him more, know more of his virtue, want him to speak to your heart and save you every day from yourself and from your sins and keep you tenderly exercised in his fear day by day. And therefore he teaches you the sweet doctrine of the grace of God. And you learn the experience of the perseverance of the saints by his operation in continually convincing you and humbling you and making you know your need of being kept. Because you get afraid of the outbreaks of sin you find stirring, rumbling inside, lurking, and you fear sometimes working within your breast. And there's a cry for real help from him. But you see, that blessed Spirit comforts the church by testifying to the church of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, I don't want to sound technical in this, but the Holy Spirit does take of the things of Jesus. He does take of the precious truth of the blood of the everlasting covenant and brings it as a sweet truth into your heart. And as he brings up a sweet truth in your heart, so there's a saving efficacy felt in the soul. The burden rolls away. the barriers are removed, and joy fills your heart, and you feel something of the love of God, the love of your heavenly Father toward you, that you're reconciled to him in his well-beloved Son, and that his blood speaks for you. It cleanses from all sin, all sin. Now that blessed Spirit in breathing life in our soul works that precious faith, because it's a life in which you have to continually trust and wait upon God. There's one thought on my mind for the service this evening, being the new year. I thought of that word in Psalm 62, and I did wonder about it. Trust in him at all times. At all times. Times of trial and times of sorrow and weariness and grief and temptation. Trust in all times. And that's the work of the Spirit. To enable you, to help you to believe and have faith in God. Trust in him at all times. Now I'm often put to it in trusting. Sometimes come some very choppy seas. My little bark takes on water so very quickly. There seems to be so many holes in my soul, and the water seems to be flooding and ready to sink me, you see. Ah, all we can do is to cry for help and cry for mercy. And the Lord saved from the unbelief of the disciples, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What an awful thing to say to beloved Emmanuel. But they were sons of men that needed saving. But that blessed Spirit helped me to trust in him at all times. And to pour out your heart. So the verse goes, I think it's verse 8 or verse 10. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now that's the work of God, to enable you to spread your matters, believing he knows the matter. He knows the matters from the beginning to the end. Your life and my life. The affairs of the years that remain with us, the family affairs, the business affairs, what gloomy lines are writ for us, what bright scenes may rise. I know I tremble at the thought of gloomy lines, and so do you. But you see, it's pouring out your heart, committing your way. If I remember rightly, December, when I came just for Christmas, a text was found. I can't remember where it was now, but they came and told Jesus. Oh, this is a real committing our way, you see. That's the work of God. And oh, to believe and trust and leave the issue and the matters with him. Now that blessed Spirit supports the church in everlasting comfort. When the church is under heavy trial, a believer comes into deep sorrows, already put to it in the exercise of their faith. They come under the solemn temptations of Satan. I tell you, friends, Satan harass you again and again in your soul, and you'll find that he's ever around you, as it were, trying to trip up or to lead you astray, and his fiery darts about your hope and your standing, reality of your religion. Let us be clear, the Lord searches the heart, you know. The Lord purges his people. He's the one, you know, who does the pruning. Oh yes, the heavenly Father, you see, he does the pruning, doesn't he? How he cuts us back at times in our parts. He searches us out, doesn't he? He searches out his sheep. We're made to see, yes, oh, we do need to be found in his beloved Son. You want reality. You want the exercise confirmed. The covenant renewed in your soul. Like Abraham, the Lord renewed his covenant with him. Made it known afresh with more power and sweetness. Because we're leaky vessels. But you see, also Satan will persecute and torment. And the dear child of God is often found in deep exercise of the reality of things, under temptation, and how he's in trials in his providence, and the Lord hides his face. The scriptures are full of these godly men, as it were, under heavy trial. I haven't time to name or touch them, but think of Job in the midst of the Mediterranean, it's in the fish's belly. Or Daniel being cast into the den of lions. Or poor Job in his ditch, and Jeremiah in the sinking dungeon, and Jacob, all these things are against me. And poor Joseph. The worst part of his prison was those last 2 years. Two full years. Oh, when would those footsteps come down the passageway? Oh, would Pharaoh ever hear of him? Oh, surely the butler hadn't forgot him. No, the butler couldn't forget him, could he? Because he'd interpreted the dream and the butler was restored. I mean, that was a miracle for the butler. He wouldn't forget the dream. He wouldn't forget Joseph, the interpreter of his dream, would he? But God made him forget him. That was God's power, you see. Trying the faith of Joseph. And your faith may be very tried here tonight. You may remember the former mercies and the early days. And where are you now? And maybe you realise that as the work of grace deepens and the Lord, as it were, puts in his pruning hook and he cuts back, you see, you hardly feel there's anything left. You want all a reality and a sham. Satan has often told me in my religion, nothing but a sham. And when you come to die, the only exercise you ever was preaching, nothing more than that. And that won't do any good when you die. And it won't, friends. I can't plead any preaching in my deathbed. May I plead him? No, friends. You see, the enemy will come at you again and again about many things in your soul and the reality of things. And look at your sins. Look at your wandering heart. Look at your worldliness and your entanglements. The Holy Ghost is the one who really supports. And he is the one who renews the former mercies and brings to remembrance the Word of God. How many times has the Word of God been renewed in your soul? With its sweet power and strength, friends. And how the clouds of darkness have dissipated immediately. And oh, you've been able to look up once more to God's holy temple, to the right hand of God. Ah, my dear friends, that blessed Holy Spirit binds brethren together in the love of Christ. And that's that blessed Holy Ghost who makes the ministry effectual and powerful to poor sinners here below. And it's that blessed Holy Ghost, my friends, who anoints ministers according to the will of the head of the church, even Jesus, and sends them forth in his name. That blessed Holy Ghost who can alone equip and qualify and prepare a pastor over you here, if it be in accordance with the goodwill of the head of the church, even Jesus. It's that same Holy Ghost that can bind you together and give you unity of spirit. It's that same Holy Ghost who can work might in the hearts of your families. You do your best to train and to teach and instruct. But my dear friends, it's the Holy Spirit alone can really sanctify and bring. No, sir, it's right, we should teach, we should train, we should instruct. Yes, the Lord help us in it. But you see, friends, it's not effectual unless the Lord works. And that same blessed Spirit can go after those indeed who may be a grief, a solemn grief at the present time. And all you can pray is like the poet says, Almighty, to love, arrest them. Do arrest them, Lord. Don't let them lift up their eyes in hell being in torment. If you ask anything in my name, look at this encouragement. You know, the gospel's so vast. I've got to close. There's so much more, isn't there? And I said, you ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Loved ones, according to his will, pleading his precious name, our providences, our lengthening of days, our last illness, being well prepared. How solemn it is to come to a dying bed and not want to die. It seems most solemn to me, and I'm certainly not ready. I'm often afraid to die. I can only cry for God's mercy to make me ready to die and to prepare me for that day. I'm so earthbound and attached to the earthly sin, and yet I can't deny, no, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Bow down and worship the King in his beauty, and fail to one or two favoured seasons. I could die like this, Lord. Yea, you then realise that he can prepare you to die. But how we need him to work that work. It's not harvest time now, is it? Just the first green in the fields. They're not, of course, not coming through in all, but where it has been sown, there's the early green. It's not harvest time. And so it's like that with the work of grace. Now the Holy Spirit can ripen a poor sinner for harvest with the smile of the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, a rod of healing in his wings. And he can ripen and bring in full growth and full corn in the year, in the seasons appointed by God for that growth in grace, the heavenly showers. And the trying scenes that make... No, I'm not a farmer, so I'm only copying what I've learned from others. But you see, the driest winds, often known in the spring, that dry up the land, you see, or part of the cycle with how the roots go down for moisture and the plant is strengthened. Trials do us as much good as blessings, you know. No trial appointed by God destroys a true believer, you know. You're not destroyed by it. You think you're going to be destroyed, as I often think I'm going to be destroyed. God will come and consume me. But friends, we live to prove there are blessings appointed. They're among those all things. Well, I'll have to leave off. Haven't spoken quite as I would like to have done about that blessed Holy Ghost. He really is love, you know. He's the Spirit of love. And he's declared to be the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. He makes known our Father's love. And my dear friends, he makes known the love of your dear Redeemer, your Bridegroom, the bride of the soul in your heart. And my dear friend, you know, he's that Spirit of grace which brings about much humility and tenderness and godly fear. If we're filled with the Spirit, wouldn't we be more tender? Wouldn't our conversation be more as becometh the gospel? Oh, how I do need that Holy Ghost myself. But I must close. But may we not be afraid to ask for the Holy Spirit. The dear Saviour is instructing his church, instructing his dear people. Oh, may we be helped to fill our mouth with holy arguments and plead the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and for his sake alone he would send to us the gracious, blessed Spirit of truth, that we might know him more, value him more, begin to love him more and live more by faith, which is to his glory and to his honour. Oh, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? It would appear from the way the Lord spoke that it pleases our most holy Father in heaven, as we ask in the name of Jesus for the Holy Ghost. For our most holy Father delights to comfort the church by sending the Holy Ghost, because he loves the church. And therefore we are instructed to ask in the name of his dear beloved Son, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Most merciful God, help us to open our mouths, entreat thee for the sweet operations of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Thy kingdom come, Lord. So we do confess our many sins, and ask the word may be profitable to us, and that be with us in this year, and grant us much of thy blessed Spirit, that we may be found bringing forth fruit. So bless thy word, and may it do us good, and pardon anything spoken wrongly. We plead for journeying mercies. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the prayer meeting on Monday evening and preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.